I want to bring on my special guest. I believe he is on the line right now. He is from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He is the person to talk to if you're going to talk Atlanta United. He is Doug Robertson. How you doing, Doug?
I'm fine. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a little while since we've seen each other.
It has been, yeah. I can't remember the last time we saw each other.
I'm not very good with dates, but I would say probably sometime in September, October.
Yeah, that might have been it. That might have been it.
Yep, because our paths took us different directions at that point, and Kadrees actually ended up beside us there at the Georgia State.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's when I switched over and started doing a lot more with Georgia Tech.
Yep, absolutely. And like I said, for anybody who doesn't know, if you want to know about Atlanta United, you got to follow Doug. He is at Doug Robertson AJC on Twitter. He is a great follow, and I'm not just saying that because I know him personally and that he's on the show, but you actually went up to a lot of the practices, and you went up to the Minnesota game. What's it been like being around this team?
It's been fun. It kind of, I've been covering it for a few years now, and then started meeting some of the players in January at the draft, Julian Gressel and Miles Robinson, and then started meeting a lot of the other players down at training camp in Florida, down in Bradenton at the IMG Academy. I wasn't really – when they first announced that Atlanta United was getting a franchise, it was – I kind of fell into the traditional trap of, oh, well, they'll hire this guy and this guy, kind of all known quantities. And I should have known as soon as Darren Eales got hired as president that they were going to go in a different direction and really be ambitious. And that's what they've done with most of their player acquisitions, with their manager, Gerardo Martino. And so far the results are kind of proving them correct with 6 points, which is 2 wins in soccer, 3 points for a win, through the first 3 games as they're on the international break right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually with a new team, especially a new franchise like this, you get the expansion draft, you get the other drafts, you kind of get the mandatory somebody else cast off a lot of times, but somehow they were able to finagle a lot of really good players. It's got a really good nucleus, and it seems like instead of getting the veterans with the bigger names, the Atlanta United actually went after the young guys that wanted to prove something.
A little bit like that, yeah. I mean, they came up with a plan. Darren Eales knew that he wanted to have an attractive, exciting brand of soccer. He would rather win 4-3 than win 2-1, for example. And so all the pieces that they've put together, including the surprise hire of Martino as manager, have kind of been to fulfill that plan, and they've all worked out. Signing a guy like Miguel Almiron, from Paraguay as a designated player was a huge get. He had reportedly been courted by Arsenal in England's Premier League, which is one of the top clubs in the world, though it's not doing as well as it wants to this season. And then getting Joseph Martinez, who was playing in Italy in the first division for Torino. He'd kind of fallen a little bit out of favor there because they had some strikers even younger than he is, and he's only 23, who were producing well. And he's just torn it up with 5 goals in the past 2 games for Atlanta United. He's currently, Venezuela just started its game down in South America for World Cup qualifying, and he's in the starting 11 for that too right now.
Yeah, we actually heard the news earlier this week. I think you were part of the group that broke it as well, that Joseph Martinez is officially a member of this team and not just a transfer from, was it Toronto he was from?
He was on loan from Torino in Italy. Torino in Italy. And Atlanta United made the move permanent by paying for him. I don't know what the price was. They won't disclose it. At some point, somebody will disclose it, but it's not happening right now.
Let's just say a small third world country is probably what it cost, right?
Well, if Almiron was $8 million, I got to assume Martinez was probably around that same amount. But that's just a guess.
Yeah, probably so. And what do you think? He's been pretty solid. I don't think because of how he actually looks, but hey, this guy's pretty solid.
Who was that? The line broke up.
The goalie, Khan.
Oh, it's Alec Khan. Yeah, from Decatur. Yeah, Alec Cann. I've mispronounced it for a long time too. Yeah, he's the leading shot stopper in Major League Soccer right now. He's got I think he faced 15 shots on goal and has 13 saves. They've only allowed 3 goals, just one in the run of play. So that means it wasn't a set piece. So he's really doing well. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when Brad Guzan joins the club later this summer. If Cann is continuing to play as well as he is right now, Martino's going to have a tough decision as to who's going to go between the posts there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people have written articles about, you know, the success of this team and how this has really got the fans involved. I mean, it helps when you win early, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, they should have won their inaugural game. They kind of coughed that one up with allowing 2 goals in the final 15 minutes, but there were 55,000 people at that game. It was the 4th most attended soccer game in the world that weekend. They had another 45,000 last week for the win against Chicago. Some people on Twitter were already saying that they were within a couple of thousand of selling out the D.C. United game, which won't even happen for another month, 5 weeks at this point, which is the next home game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. They're about to hit on a 4-game road trip. So, yeah, if they come out of this road trip with not dropping all 12 points, I think the city is really, really going to even more so embrace this team than it already has.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, soccer is, you know, kind of the way hockey was around here. We won't get into the way hockey's actually played out in Atlanta because we don't want to spend the rest of the night doing that. But soccer is something that's really emerging, especially in the South and across the nation now. So it's kind of been nice that not only do we have, you know, just local guys that are on this team, but we have them from all over the country, really all over the world. You know, what's it been like? You've been able to cover all these games. What's the fan, I guess, the fan reaction and the fan interaction with these particular teams?
Well, you know, it's different everywhere you go. A lot of the cities have really embraced the team, and you see it in the attendance at places like Seattle and Portland and Orlando, for example, and then some of the other teams and some of the other major cities that haven't done as well. The attendance isn't as good. Chicago, for example, has finished last in the Eastern Conference the back-to-back years. Its attendance hasn't been good. Colorado's had a good team, but they only had like 13,000 at their season opener a couple of weeks ago. It just depends on your market. It depends upon the investment that the owners make in the team and depends on the results. It's like any other sport. That's what's always funny to me, that people say soccer doesn't work. Well, I can remember going to the Braves games in the 70s when there were maybe 2,000 people in the stands, and then they started putting money into it and got the results, and lo and behold, the Braves became the kind of crown jewel of pro sports in most of the South. And it looks like Arthur Blank is trying to do that with Atlanta United by putting money into the team with a $1.5 billion stadium and a $60 million training complex and dropping coin on some of these players and the manager. He wants a winner, and he wants to win now, and he's putting his money where his mouth is.
Absolutely. And you don't have to necessarily answer this. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But who has the better chance of getting a championship sooner, the Falcons or the United?
That's a good question. I mean, you got to say the Falcons at this point. I mean, heck, they were just in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Atlanta United's an expansion team. So, yeah, it's got to be the Falcons.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta United doesn't get there within a few years.
I would definitely agree with that. Like I said, with the way soccer has grown, it's kind of grown on me. Up until now, I really didn't follow the MLS all that much. I kind of watched a lot of English Premier League and such, Arsenal being my team, so I'm familiar with a lot of these players. But, you know, for the casual fan or the non-MLS fan, what would you say to them to get them to maybe watch some MLS and especially the Atlanta United?
Just go experience a game. I mean, get tickets to an Atlanta United game. And go, you know, sit as close to the supporters section as you can and just experience the passion and the energy that you see at one of these games and then compare and contrast it to your experiences at other places. It's most of all the professional sports, it's most similar to college football in terms of the cheering and just the attentiveness that people pay to the game. Go on YouTube and look up Atlanta United Viking Clap from Chicago last weekend. It was, you know, there are very few things that when I'm working cause me to kind of raise my head and go, oh, that was pretty cool. That was one of those moments on Saturday. I could hear the clap, and it's like, okay, here it's starting, and I've heard this before. I'm going to continue writing. But then it got louder, and they started incorporating ATL and United into it, and it was really, really an awesome, awesome scene. And they do things like that, you know, throughout the game. They're not original. Other teams have done these things. Iceland, Seattle has done the Viking clap, but it was really cool.
Yeah, it's one of the things I try to tell people that when we cover certain events, there are those certain moments when you lift your head and you look and you realize something special is going on around you.
Yeah, that was one. And, you know, there's been other moments like that at Atlanta United games, but they've only had two home games. But that's the first one that really kind of stands out to me. And, I mean, 35,000 people sitting in 19-degree temperature in Minnesota to watch that game.
Right.
That was beyond impressive to me, because you couldn't sit down because the bleachers are frozen, there's snow all over the place, and still 35,000 people showed up to watch that game. And they stayed, most of them stayed, even while their team was getting destroyed by Atlanta United. That was another impressive kind of moment.
Absolutely. And we're talking with Doug Robertson from the AJC about our Atlanta United, because we've embraced them here just as much as the city of Atlanta does. And, you know, actually, the one thing that a lot of people try to say up front is, well, it's so hard to get a ticket to one of these events, and Georgia Tech's not really a soccer venue, and the prices are so high. Really, they're just not looking, because even the first-degree market, Ticketmaster and such, these are pretty reasonable prices.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the prices are beyond reasonable. I mean, you can get season tickets for three people for less than $500.
Right.
And that's not bad, considering you get, well, it'd be 15 games left now in the package. But you do the math on that, and that's pretty good money. And, I mean, tickets are for sale at Ticketmaster. Bobby Dodd Stadium, actually, I'm going to be a little bit sad when the team goes to Mercedes-Benz, because I think Bobby Dodd Stadium is a fantastic soccer stadium. It's rectangular. The fans are right on top of the field. The upper decks hang, you know, really close to the edges of the field. It is. I've really enjoyed covering soccer there. I think it's fantastic. It's just a wonderful scene with Atlanta in the background and everything. So I'm gonna be a little bit bummed when they move to Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, especially concerts I've been to over the years and such. I always prefer the smaller venues over the larger ones, and I gotta agree. Not only are you down the street from places like the Varsity, which are just Atlanta icons, whether you eat there, whether you just take pictures there, but you know, I would almost say that Bobby Dodd is set up better for soccer than it is for football, and it does pretty well for football.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I think it works just as well for everything.
Right.
Anytime you got a rectangular stadium, you can do most anything in it, and it's going to look pretty good because everybody's going to be so close to the field. But they've been, you know, the first game there were a lot of issues with lines, and they got those worked out for the second game, and you got to figure it's going to be even easier and more efficient for all the games going forward. But it's been a great place for Atlanta United so far.
Absolutely. And, of course, the upcoming game, they're off this weekend. They play that's a home game, actually. The Seattle Sounders come here March 31st, right?
No. They are at next four games.
Yep.
Their next four games are on the road. They're at Seattle, the reigning MLS Cup champion, at Toronto, the runner-up, at Montreal, the Eastern Conference runner-up, and then at Salt Lake, which is another playoff team from the Western Conference. So it's a tough, tough road trip. Their next home game is DC United on a Sunday at the end of April. Yeah.
April 30th, yep.
Right.
See that now. Yeah, my graphic was skewed up there. I will take partial blame for not having that right. Yeah, that's kind of murderer's row there. What little bit I know about MLS, like you said, Seattle won last year. Toronto was the runner-up. Montreal always brings it, and Real Salt Lake has always been a contender too. That's kind of a rough schedule.
Yes, it's a very rough schedule. but that's, you know, they had to, because of spring football, they had to get out of Bobby Dodd for a little while so Paul Johnson and his men could do what they need to do.
Right.
And so that's just how it goes.
Hey, we know all about that. We've covered Georgia State before. Sometimes you got to clear out for the big dogs.
Yep, that's true. Yep.
But yeah, this and the best thing to me is that at least the local market, because I mean, when I grew up, we could watch the Braves on TBS, and then they were on Fox Sports South and all the other stations like that. Well, Atlanta United has been on everything from Unimas a couple weeks ago to FS1. They're going to be on, I think, Fox Sports South a little bit. So if you live in the Atlanta metro area, sometimes in the southeast, you're able to watch Atlanta games live.
Yeah, games are carried on national games are carried on MLS, on ESPN, on mm-hmm. Fox Sports or Fox Sports 1, and then Univision. Atlanta United's regional games, there's 15 of them. I think it's 15. Or no, it's 15 national, 17 on – or 19. On so all the games are televised. The MLS live package is like – $80 a year, and you can watch as many MLS games as you want to. So that's a pretty good bargain as well.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's definitely not bad at all. But, you know, overall, obviously we've been off to a fast start with Atlanta United so far. You know, how do you kind of see maybe the next few games? I don't want to plan too far ahead, but how do you see, you know, as we hit the tougher part of the schedule here, how do you see this team kind of playing out? Do you think they can keep up this intensity, or do you think they're going to have to change things up?
I mean, it's working for them so far, and they've got as much talent as everybody else in the league. They seem to understand what Martino wants to do. It's going to be interesting to me when they start facing some teams a second time, Red Bulls a second time, Chicago a second time, how those teams adjust to what they learned from their first meetings with Atlanta. You know, that's always the fun thing in the NFL when some team starts off hot. Everybody says, well, when they face them a second time, pretty much, you know, it becomes much more of a chess match. So that's going to be cool to see. You know, the big question is, can they make the playoffs? Six teams out of 11 in each conference will make the playoffs. And right now, mm-hmm. it'd be hard to say that Atlanta United isn't going to make the playoffs. Injuries and everything is always a great equalizer. But right now, it's going to be tough to keep them out of the six teams that can make the playoffs.
Exactly. And for a lot of people who don't know a lot about soccer, obviously the transfer window is something that's prevalent, at least in a lot of other leagues. How does that work in the MLS? Is it similar to the EPL and La Liga and such?
Yeah. The primary transfer window for Major League Soccer is in January. The secondary is in the summer. That's kind of the reverse of how it is in England. And that's simply because MLS is off in January and playing in the summer, whereas the Premier League is off in the summer and playing in January.
Right.
So you won't see a lot of movement by Atlanta United in the secondary transfer window in the summer. And they've got 30 players on their roster. That's as many as you could have right now in Major League Soccer. Well, you may be able to have 31. But anyway, they have 30, and they're not looking to make any more moves. The only thing that would change that is injuries or if some team from Europe came calling this summer and wanted to buy one of Atlanta United's players, then Darren Eales would be obligated to listen. And he said that that's kind of the goal. They buy these young players, hoping they'll play well. They can sell them at a profit and then turn those profits back around and put them back into the club with the purchase of another good player. So we'll see what will happen with Martinez and Almiron this summer, particularly if they keep playing like they're playing.
Absolutely, absolutely. And before I let you go, Doug, it's been great actually having you on the show. It's fun that we can talk about all kinds of things, and especially the Atlanta United, because it really has kind of taken hold here in Atlanta, and I wish them the best and you with all your stuff as well. But I wanted to give a shout-out to your son, Will, because you put that video up the other day of his baseball prowess there, and apparently you've been working quite well. You might have the next Mike Trout on your hands.
I wish opposite field double for my little man. Most of his hits go opposite field. He swings late a lot of times, but that's okay. He got a double and he came around to score and is only at bat in the game. It's a lot of wild pitches in that league, so this kid's only usually bat once or twice in a game before they reach the hour and 45 minute time limit. But I appreciate you you mentioning my son. Thank you.
Hey, it's no problem. Like I said, I always live vicariously through you and your kids because of all the fun trips to the zoo and such you guys take. So definitely wanted to give him the shout-out on that. And as somebody who the limited time I played baseball, I was a very much opposite field hitter, sometimes not by choice like him. I got to give a shout-out when credit's due.
There we go. Well, I appreciate that.
But you're welcome. And obviously I will continue to live vicariously through you guys through your social media account. But if you want to follow Doug, it is at Doug Robertson AJC. Like I said, he's a great follow, especially if you're a soccer fan, especially if you like Georgia Tech and all the many other things you end up covering. And I know you're busy, so I'm going to let you on with the rest of your night, and hopefully we'll talk to you again later on down the year.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.